Hello and welcome to the last in a series of the Mountain Pod for this season, and we are finishing on a good one. This week we speak to it's just me, isn't it? This week I speak to India and Koza, two wonderful people who are snowboard and ski instructors, and they also run a thing called the Women's Progression Session, which helps female skiers and snowboarders improve on whatever they want to, whether it's being off-piste or working, doing things, tricks in the park. You have to forgive me, every time I talk about snowboarding or skiing, I run the risk of sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about, mainly because I don't know what I'm talking about. However, the India and Koz do know what they're talking about, and they do run a women's progression session, and it is a fantastic opportunity for people to sort of have peer group learning and improve their skills. They also, pre-COVID, ran a great event called Girls Who Ride, where they had, it was basically an event where people would come and showcase what they've learned, and afterwards there was a big party where people just sort of hung out. So yeah, I am you'll hear in the episode that I actually called them trailblazers. Both India and Koz are incredibly modest and reacted to that. But I would say they're doing some really fantastic things to sort of raise the profile of women within the mountain community. It's really admirable, and I was really keen to talk to them, so I'm really grateful for their time. I hope you enjoy the conversation. This one doesn't contain much swearing, you'll be pleased to know. It's very nice, it's a really lovely chat, and it's a lovely one to end on. Thanks for listening to this, and thanks for listening to all the ones throughout the season. I hope you've enjoyed them. It's April when I'm recording this, the time of slushy snow and sunshine. It's certainly been an odd season, hasn't it? So I hope if you've been up in the mountains, you've managed to enjoy some parts of it. And if you've been prevented from being in the mountains, you are absolutely frothing for the next season. Take it steady, and I hope you enjoy the chat. Oh, one last thing for me, I forgot to say that Koz also runs the Gromskold as well. The Gromskold is a chance for the young kids to come and have a go and learn with each other to do their tricks. It's really, it's pretty cute watching these young kids do their tricks. In fact, I'd say most of them are pretty much better than I am already. So, yeah, I have a chat with Koz at the end about the Grom Squad. So if you want to hear about that, it's right at the back end of the session. So, yeah, enjoy.
Definitely never take a challenge for granted again. Never complain about it being slow or old or anything.
Yeah, or like cold.
Yeah, I think, I've not done any hiking up the mountain, so I can't complain, but yeah. Does it feel better though when you've hiked up the mountain than when you come down, or do you just think, no, chairlift is the way to go?
Well, I think it's nice to have the time. I mean, I obviously wouldn't want to do it every season for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But it's nice when you walk up something and you've got time to like look around and go, okay, should we go down that bit? Should we go down that bit?
Yeah, it's
like
true.
Normally you sit on a chairlift and you get to the top and you're like, oh, I just spent the last 5 minutes chatting to whoever I was on the chairlift with, and I didn't get a chance to really look and see where we're going to go. And
You have to make a good decision as well. Yeah. Like at the start of the day, you're like, right, I'm going to go up this side of the mountain because like if you had a chairlift, you'd just be like, nah, it's not good there, we'll go there.
You've got to really work out wind, sun.
Yeah. And if you make the wrong decision, you're like, damn, I just walked like 2 hours up here.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, that. Do you ever get those runs where you go, I could have gone a better way, or is every run just good? Or...
Oh, no, you always get those runs. I mean,
really?
I don't know. I think so.
Just all new to me because I've never done it. I'm such a novice for these things. I'm trying to get better, but you know, it's all good. So tell me about how you got, because I want to talk about, because I don't know, I've always found it quite a male-dominated kind of place, and I feel that you guys are obviously trailblazing. Or do you feel this lot?
Cousins are trailblazing.
No.
So, would you you've done VASI courses and stuff? What? How did you get into it? Cause did you?
I did my level one as a way really to get a cheap week of lessons for myself.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it worked out really cheap, because it was quite a long time ago, so it's quite a cheap way to do it. And I had a trip to Zermatt. It's like, oh, snazzy. So I could go and stay with my friend. Do you know, it was one of those.
Yeah.
And then after that, I kind of thought, oh, that's pretty good. And then, you know, obviously they tell you in that course that if you did your next level, with a level two, you can go and work pretty much anywhere in the world with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I should probably just go and do that. And then, you know, tick. And then after that, I went and worked in Switzerland. And it was really great. I had a great time. And I had loads of work, but it's obviously a really expensive place to live. And I got to the end of the season and thought, well, you know, I could keep doing this. It's great, but I'm not really saving any money. And I was about 28 then, so I kind of thought, well, I should probably, you know, if I'm going to do my level 3 and 4, I should try now before I get too old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, so just came back to teen, worked to teen spirit. Kieran was good, gave me loads of time off if I needed to do courses and stuff. So that worked well. And then, yeah, managed to do quite a few courses here. So you don't have to pay so much money. It's so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it's about, someone was telling me the other day, it was about 20,000 to get through the whole thing.
Well, I think it's different. I don't know. I think it's different. I think you can wangle it. You can wangle it, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm. I think the skiers, you know, if you end up doing 13 or 14 Euro tests over a period of a long, like, few years, that's going to add up, and you've got to do all the race training and everything for that, unless you're a professional racer or something.
Wow.
Unless you're Indian, you pass it first time.
Brilliant. We'll come to this, India. But so because it's out. No, it's very sorry, I don't want to pry, but I equally want to know. So it wasn't like you're going, I'm going to be an instructor. It just, you like, it sort of was a natural thing that every so often you're like, okay, I'll do this and see where I go. And
yeah, I think, I don't want to whiffle on about COVID too much, but it does make you realise how goal-orientated you are.
Mm.
So I think there's quite a lot of people here that, yeah, I want to, you know, this year has become about ticking off that line or whatever it might be, or that trick in the park or whatever, even more so than it would have been on a normal season, maybe. Mm. Just,
right.
I guess in this season, I've always enjoyed that side of things.
Mm.
But it was nice to do the BASI stuff just purely because I felt like I was progressing in a structured way, maybe. And you meet nice people doing it and you have a bit of a journey through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember getting to the end and feeling like real, like, oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, okay, it's
done. Oh.
It's meant to be like, oh my God, it's done. I was like, huh, what now?
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's just quite interesting, isn't it? Because we talked about, in the other episodes, you talked a lot about how if you just live in the mountains and you don't own a business or anything, it can be quite passive and you do odd jobs here and there and there's no, you're not sure, really sure what you're doing without, you know. So it's interesting that you have a goal and whatever. In fact, the first thing you said when you came in was like, I had to tick off a few more park goals today.
Chancellor.
Yeah. 11th hour, here we are.
Tell everyone it's the last day the park was open, so
yeah.
Both of you were
gotta
there.
Do it.
Both of you were there, right? How do you find clients? Do you ever get any male clients that are funny about having a female instructor?
Yeah, I think that I do.
Well, I guess because I work for myself, it'd be a bit weird if they booked me and then.
Oh, because I suppose, yeah.
But I have worked for a school before where I've been, you know, in a school, and so I don't know who I'm going to get, kind of thing, and they just turn up. But I don't think I've ever had anyone actually that's caused a false start.
Yeah. They've never been a problem in the end, but I've definitely had it on, like, not loads of occasions, just a few, when I can tell when I'm walking over to meet them that they're, like, looking at me, like, weird. Also, I look quite young, so then I'm in, like, ski kit as well, and I can sort of tell that they're thinking, she looks about 12 years old, and she's like a little girl, like, what's she going to teach us? And then it's annoying because you're on the back foot from the start, so you're going to have to win them over.
Mm.
And yeah, I've had a few, like, sort of, I'd say they're quite sassy comments from people being like, well, are you going to do something like particular they've done in a lesson in the past or something?
Right.
I just don't teach like that. But if you would like to do that, that's not a problem. Yeah, I don't know. I would say not a handful, like hardly any.
Yeah.
But like a handful.
Yeah, sorry, it's quite a potentially an unfair question to try and get dirt, but I'm just intrigued. which is a bit rude of me, but I'm just intrigued because I just wonder how it's received. Because I mean, I think it's a brave new world and hopefully people aren't like that. But, you know, I just wondered if you might get the certain types that come skiing, for instance, that might be like that. That's what
I think it works both ways, though, because I can be a bit judgy if I, like, see a particular, like, you've got, I don't know, an off-piece lesson booked with, like, two boys in their mid-30s or late-20s or something. And you're like, oh, God's sake. Like, I know what they're going to be like before. I've already judged them before I even met them, and they might be absolutely fine.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, I've thought, I mean, not that I've any intention to become a snowboarder or ski instructor, but I've thought, what kind of life must you guys have? Because from looking for it, I think, wow, what a great life, right? It's amazing. You guys get to do what you want. You get to be up the mountain all the time. But then I thought, but clients. But and the patience you must have a lot of the time. I mean, I feel like I'm actually focusing on all the negative things here, but what is the best thing about instructing? Like,
well, generally people who book a lesson, I mean, there are exceptions to this, but most people who book lessons or they go on a camp or they're having coaching for whatever reason, they do it because they want to do it.
Yeah.
So there's been a couple of times where I've had, you know, a bloke say, I'm booking you to teach my girlfriend.
Oh yeah.
Because she just won't listen. She just won't listen to me. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. And then the girlfriend either turns up or the wife turns up and goes, I don't want to do this. He's forced me to do it, and he wouldn't say it, take no. I don't want to do it. Can we just go for a coffee?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, fine. Maybe we could try it in a bit or not. I don't know. And then you just have to gauge it, see if you can win them round. You can go for a coffee and they see that you're actually a nice person. You're not going to make them do anything they don't want to do, or make them go down an icy run or anything like that. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, well, we're going to have a go. So you can get a bit out of them.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But that's only happened a couple of times. Yeah. And the majority of the times, most people come because they're frothing because they're on holiday and they want to learn to snowboard and they want to get better at snowboarding. Yeah, they came last year and they were riding around the mountain and now we're going to do the park or the powder or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So they're usually like super enthusiastic and most of the time they want to run before they can walk and you're actually being the one that goes, just calm it down a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I like just being out in the mountain all day, to be honest. Mm. And I like meeting loads of different people, like completely random backgrounds, completely random ages, abilities. Like, I just like the chairlift chat you have, honestly, it just spills out of me sometimes. I'm quite like, normally I'm quite quiet, but like I can just chat absolute rubbish about skiing all day to anyone who will listen.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've got a theory about chairlifts. I think you can have some of the most tender conversations on a chairlift. Yeah. They're like, there's something
tender, that's a nice way to describe it.
Well, there's something about, like, they can either be, depending on what kind of ride you're on, whether you're like going for it or you're like, you're going out that night, or whatever, you're going doing crazy stuff, and you get there, you're like really hyped up, and everyone's chatting over each other, going, la la la, or if you're going on an sort of a lazy, cruisy afternoon, then you start having deep and meaningfuls in the chair.
Yeah.
And it's quite, I find it quite a nice place to have a conversation. And equally, what's hilarious is, people do that regardless of who's sitting next to them as well.
Yeah. So
you can be in a chairlift and there'll be people having this incredibly deep conversation and you're like, I'm just here.
Yeah. Okay. You get it. But like, I remember the other boys in TDC saying, like, I get, people tell me really personal stuff when like on a ski lesson. I don't know if that's a girl thing or just because.
No, I get all sorts.
People, they tell you like, I don't know, there's family illnesses, they're going through divorces, they've got problems with their kids, they've got, like, they get real personal. I'm like, I've met them for an hour, and they're like...
But I think they see you as some kind of, like, I don't know, professional helper.
Yeah, in a
broad sense.
And they're so kind of like clearing their head, skiing or whatever it is, and they just feel like they need to unload. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, well, maybe it does sound like you need to go for the divorce. Like, what?
I've
got really good turns and I'm getting a divorce. Yeah. Great holiday.
Thanks, India.
Exactly. Brilliant. And you're just there with your thumbs up. Yeah. You go.
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess, like you say, you're someone that's, you know, helping, you know, and they just sort of level up a bit. They go, well, you're helping me with my snowboarding.
Yeah, I'm helping with my life.
I mean, maybe you guys do holistic training, you know, what's that Mr. Miyagi style of training where you don't just train the technique, you train the whole being.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, tell me about your childhood and then we'll get your turns. No, that's interesting. But what was I saying? Chairlifts. What do you make of the rule that you should never train your loved one? You should never teach your loved one to lift? Have you ever? Because I've did it once and it went really badly. And I didn't then send her off to an instructor going, she won't listen. No, but it just, I don't know what went wrong because it was going really well and then it just went really badly. There's this unwritten rule that I've heard that you should never attempt to teach a loved one.
Totally, surely.
You guys are professional.
It depends on individuals, right?
On the individuals and on your relationship, I guess.
What are you trying
to
say?
I wouldn't take it that well. Yeah. I mean, I just don't
know. Yeah.
I think I got taught how to snowboard from an ex-boyfriend and it was fine right at the beginning.
Mm.
And then once I could do it a bit, I was like, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And fuck off, please.
Yeah.
But that's also my personality, I think. I'd just be like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. So how did women's progression start? How did that sort of come about as a thing, a concept?
This is Causes thing.
No,
it's your thing. So I used to run a surf camp for women with my friend Louise out on the west coast of France. And it was really nice because it was, again, I guess surfing can be seen to be quite a male-dominated sport at some levels and some areas. And so it was just trying to create a safe space for females to learn with a female instructor. So we weren't the instructors, we brought in a female instructor for it. And we just had really positive feedback. And then we used to do, so that same sort of surf camp, we used to do sort of winter camps because I used to work in Saas Fee and Louise worked in Zermatt, she's a ski instructor. So we used to run winter camps and days, the same sort of vibe, and it just went down really well. It was just like girls frothing on skiing and snowboarding, getting in the park, you know, and it was just a really fun day. And loads of brands were keen to support it and give some prizes and things. So when I came back here and I'd managed to get my level 4, I thought I should really try and do that. And it was just a good way to get sort of, teen seasonaires together, and we had some people coming over from Val d'Isère and Saint-Foy, and then of course India got her level 4, so we could bring in the skiers as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, because there's a lot of girls that were like, oh, I'd like to come but all my friends ski and I don't want to come on my own. Obviously I'd say please come but I can't teach skiing because I'm not qualified to teach skiing. So then it was great that India was keen to do it, because then it meant then loads of people would come. So,
And I used to go to them on my board.
You did, yeah?
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a good idea. I mean, a bit of me thinks it's a shame there has to be it. But
I know, yeah.
But that's only a small part. It's great. It's why not? It's like if it's helping people and it just... I'm a little bit jealous of it, really. It's like, where's the boys? The boys just accept...
Quite a lot of guys have said this to us. We should do... mixed or men's only.
Maybe it just comes to the women's.
I don't know. But also, I wonder if, like, boys did one, if people would go. Like, quite often the boys are like, oh, I'd like a boys one.
And then they won't go.
Yeah, I don't know if they would or not, really.
and yeah. one way to find out.
Yeah. We generalising, as you often do when you talk about sexes, but like, I think boys can be quite proud, can't they? I think yeah. there's an element where they're like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. It's like, well, I'm pretty exceptional. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Someone help me. I don't know. I just think it's great that you guys have done it. What was I going to say? Do you have is there people that come regularly that gives you that sense of achievement that you see them progressing?
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of the idea, I suppose, behind doing the regular progression sessions. I mean, they're called progression sessions for a reason. It's not about you come to this session, you will be able to do a 540.
Yeah.
It's, well, maybe you'll get a little bit better and a little bit closer at achieving that goal kind of thing. But keep coming and you'll get there. And it's just really nice. I think, I don't know if you're the same, but I think it's when I was younger and I was in the park, there was Kate Honers and Abby Yates and old school girl crew, and it was just really nice to meet other girls that were kind of doing similar things and wanted to progress in a similar way. And I suppose, in a way, the progression sessions just help facilitate that.
Yeah.
So that girls can meet other girls that are doing similar, or want to achieve a similar thing.
Yeah.
Have other people to ride with.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice focal point, because I guess if you're, as I said, I didn't have any formal lessons when I started, and then you're just kind of out on the mountain, unless you're actually going paying for lessons, which often seasonaires can't really afford.
Yeah.
Where's your focal point to improve? How are you getting, like you say, that facilitation to get to the next step? Whereas actually just putting a session together, such a kind of, again, I'm jealous of this. It's always doing.
Yeah.
But no, it's I think it's great. So yeah, how did the girls who ride sort of come out of that was a separate thing?
That was kind of a I suppose, like you said in your last sort of question about the progression, the Girls Who Ride Day was kind of supposed to be the day that, you can showcase what you've
done. Oh, I see. Amazing.
And you can win loads of prizes and there'll be loads of fun stuff happening. And if you've never been to the progression sessions, it doesn't matter because we've got coaches here today too.
Yeah.
So it's all very fun and obviously...
Yeah, it's really not a competition.
Not a competition.
Because I get it as well, but I know I'm speaking to a lot of people, going in the park and then being everyone has to ride that kick and we're all going to watch you do it. That's terrifying. So the whole day was we're just all there together having a lovely time.
Yeah. And it's great that so many businesses and people in team were so keen to support it. And obviously we've only done the one so far because last year it got cancelled. But that first one, we had 96 girls.
96 girls and bibs, And then just a bunch of people riding.
I think there's probably about 20, 25 businesses that got involved.
So
much support. So cool.
Yeah.
And everything was free for everybody, which was...
Yeah.
And we did get boys involved on that day as well, because we got a few boys to help coach some stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Which was cool, and they were frothing over it.
I came up and hung out for a bit. I was like, what a great day. It was just so good. And then the party in the evening was wicked.
And then Nikki, DJing. Free barbecue. Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good.
No, it's great. It's been, doing these podcasts has been lovely, kind of reminiscing about these cool events that happen periodically through the season. And I think that was a really nice addition to the teen or calendar, Girls Who Ride. Next year.
Next year. Yeah, these will be three times as big.
We were it was the week. It was meant to be 3 or 4 or 5 days after.
The lockdown started a couple of days before last lockdown.
So you guys, I remember it, the girls were right, because I was trying to put the box tram on and I was trying to schedule it so it didn't fall on the same day. And I was talking to Poppy maybe or someone, I was trying to schedule it so it would be a week of kind of cool events. And then COVID. And then it all went.
today in the park, there was actually quite a lot of girls.
Yeah.
They're absolutely ripping, like, so good.
Yeah.
And you're just, yeah, it's great. But at the same time, it's probably not even a quarter of the total number of people in the park were female.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're all absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But you just, yeah, like you say, you just want to encourage more girls to come. Yeah.
I walk past the park, and always playing, like, hip-hop, and I was walking past the other day. I think I'm like, well, I can't remember.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, I wish one day they'd play classical music.
Oh,
just, you know what I mean? Just change the vibe.
Because
I think it'd be hilarious. I think people get into it. I think it just, and then suddenly the park's a different space because that, you know, like I when you're saying it's an intimidating place, I totally get it. Like, I walk past, I go, wow, like the music's playing. There's people doing mad stuff.
Yeah.
And you've never really gone off a kicker before, but you want to try, and you've got to walk up there and do it. I mean, that's.
I think this season, especially with that hype part that we've had, that's like, it really, it's been amazing, but then you're in the same kicker, like, you know, you could be trying that kicker for the first time, or you're riding with someone who's doing, like, Cork Sevens, and you're all on the same jump. Whereas in a normal season, you would be on a different kicker or a different part, or you, just, it's quite funny. It's cool, actually, because you get to see, like, all levels.
Yeah.
It definitely makes it a bit more scary when you're like today, like Finbar does this huge backflip over the hip, and then I'm like, well, who's going next?
I'm not going next.
What's going
on? I just want to ask about the Grom squad because this is
little rippers.
Oh, can I just, before you even ask any questions, linking. Beautifully.
Yeah.
The new generation that are coming through now this year. We've got Molly, he's 2.5, Evie, he's 2.5, Bailey, he's 2.5.
Yeah, all the girls.
And Rafiki, he's 2.5. So those four in a couple of years, watch out.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely ripping.
And then, you used to teach, they're not here this year, but like Heidi and that.
Yeah.
And they were like so good.
Heidi could do like 8 different 180s and she was when she was 4. She was just like, what, off the heels? Yeah, alright.
Yeah. Alright, because I'll do that off the heels, no
worries. Yeah, no worries. What? 360? Not just yet, but I'll just bust out all these 180s.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, what, I mean, I don't want to. Again, I feel like I'm asking negative questions, but the kids, they're up for it, right? They're not being pushed, or they're.
So, obviously, every child is different. Some are more up for it than others. Some of them might have had a late night the night before.
It's been on a lemonade.
Yes. Craft hard.
Yeah.
It depends on the weather.
Yeah.
If it's very snowy, they might just not really be into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's sunnier, they might be into it for longer.
Yeah.
Generally, the whole idea with Grom Squad is that if you try to take your child skiing or snowboarding on their own, they just say no, especially when they're young.
Mm.
But if it's like a bit of a party, I mean, there's 15 kids there on a Sunday.
Amazing.
In the minute. This year's been.
Do they get stoked on the others, right? Like, so
they
one
see
of them
someone else do it, and they're like, oh, okay.
I'm not actually that tired anymore.
Let's go on the tunnel. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Let's go on the tunnel. So and so's going on the tunnel. Let's go together. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, and then off they go.
That's
and
brilliant.
Then they can see. At the top, when they can see somebody else is a bit further down, let's go and say hi to them. Let's go give them a high five.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's so cute.
That is brilliant.
And there's a bit of an overlap now with the bigger ones. So I've been doing the little ones, the little ones, for half an hour or so to start with. And the bigger ones arrive. And then it's like, watch me, I can do turns, I can do a jump, watch me. So the little ones like, oh, okay, so that's what we're aiming for. I guess that's kind of the idea.
Well, that's peer group learning, if you just go out with your dad, then you're not, you know.
I guess it shows the parents how to ride with them a bit as well.
Yeah, and gives the parents a bit of, makes it more of a light-hearted experience, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's not just their child squawking at them and them having to try and coax them constantly.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have a laugh with the other parents and they see that, oh, that child's having a tantrum.
Yeah,
it's okay if my child has a tantrum kind of thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's very cute though.
I want to ask a really difficult question. You're not obliged to answer this. Put these in order, the best ones to teach, kids, men or women. You don't have to ask that.
Oh, goodness me.
No, it must be different. Everyone's different, right?
Yeah, it depends on the person, if they're hungover, if they're like what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be very surprised as well. You think you've got some princess lady who's gonna be chatting about nails or I don't know what champagne, the best champagne she's had or whatever. And then you get off the chairlift at the time, she's like, right, let's do this.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
That's one of my favourite things in life is when you completely misjudge a situation. Yeah. Someone just completely got that all wrong. Yeah, and absolutely. Then you feel like refreshed in a way. Like, yeah. Oh, great.
Humanity's all right after all.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That was India and Koz talking about their life as instructors in the mountains and also being in the park and having the confidence to go off kickers, something I don't do regularly, if at all. So yeah, it's great to hear them talk about it and also to talk openly about our sort of fears that we have on the mountain. I think it's really important to do that just to become a better rider and also keep yourself alive. So yeah, thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Do like, subscribe. We'll be back with the Mountain Pod, all things being well, in the near future. So yeah, follow us on Instagram and yeah, or on Facebook or whatever, keep in touch. And if you know anyone who wants to be on the pod or you think I should speak to someone, I'd really like to hear from you. Yeah, drop me a line on the usual channels. Have a great summer. Take it easy. Live, love. Hopefully you'll be able to hug some people soon. Who knows? Take it all easy. See you later. Bye.